conference. I don't know if someone else, honestly, if someone else is handling this portion. I did manage to catch a couple of questions in the chat, but I might have missed the first bunch of them. So a little help from anybody else on the committee.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I want to make a real quick announcement before we start the Q&A session. A big thanks to M&M Audio, www.recoverytapers.com. They've agreed and came and are Mike's recording this for us, and it'll be on that website, www.recoverytapers.com. You know, without these guys, you know, many of us wouldn't have heard the message early on in our, and sometimes later on. So thanks again, Mike, for everything you're doing. And I think Kate is going to take over with the Q&A here.
There we go. Hey, everybody. Kate Alcoholic. Thanks again to the panelists. Thanks, Chris, for chairing. I think Brad's going to help me on the techie end, and I will read off the questions, and then we'll unmute whoever they are for. Starting here? Mm-hmm. Okay, so first question is for Colleen. Can you please say again the prayer you were given as you walked with your mother toward the end of her life?
Can you hear me? Yeah. Dear God, I have unforeseen strength and a calm spirit. When it was given to me, I need you all to know that I just thought that was impossible. It just felt impossible to me. Like it was for a saint. It wasn't for me in this situation. But the weird thing is that was exactly what I was given, 100%.
Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you. And our next question is going to be for Mike. When did you first feel your relationship with God grow? Was it sudden burning bush, or was it a gradual of the educational variety?
Well, I thought it was gradual. My realization of it was gradual. But as my sponsor says, we only understand what's happened in the rearview mirrors. So looking back, it was very sudden. I often prayed to God like he was an slow minion that I had at the office. You know, dear God, I'm going to explain this to you one more time, what I need you to do. I've told you several times, but you haven't produced yet, and so forth. But looking in the rearview mirror, September 6th, 1985, I was drunk. September 7th, I was on my way to sobriety and never looked back. Now, that seems pretty sudden and profound to me. So that's my answer there. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. And before we mute you again, I have a second question for you. What were those pillars of God?
Okay. First, and these were for me only as a beginning place. So first one, primary one was God's not angry. The second one, God doesn't think comparatively. Third one, God wants my happiness even more than I do myself. And then finally, am I willing to ask myself the question, is it possible that God wants my happiness even more than I do myself?
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Next question. What was the name of the book Colleen mentioned?
That was The Way to Love by Anthony DeMello. And the reason that was so meaningful to me, it was actually Mark Houston who was the one who woke me up to that one. And as I read that, and I must have read it five times now, I started to turn it into a prayer. So I would find something that would really hit me, and I would turn it into a prayer. The whole book is filled with spiritual direction, but it's about us being caught in the false dependencies that Bill Wilson talks about when he writes that article on emotional sobriety when he's 17 years sober, and he starts to work with Father Ed Dowling. And his entire recovery changes, kind of goes from fourth dimension to fifth dimension. And can you still hear me? Yeah. And the Anthony DiMello for me, it just shows my entire bondage of self. It just lays the whole thing out. And it talks about how all you want is your broken toys fixed. Right. And the big book says root and branch. I didn't want root and branch. I just wanted my toys fixed. Thank you very much. Root and branch, that just seemed like for all of you losers, incidentally. I was just like, absolutely not interested in that at all. But when I started to see the freedom that is involved in this root and branch, and that I then don't need this stuff as much, but don't need this stuff and my addiction to the world. And you know that. Look at Facebook usage. Look at Instagram usage. Look at like phone calls and being attached to my phone. And look at all that. It's all in the Anthony DiMello, is the false dependencies. I highly recommend it.
Thank you so much, Colleen. Next question is for Belinda. How do I align myself with the spiritual meaning of the third step prayer? I've been saying it for the majority of my sobriety.
Well, that's for me, like, how do I align myself? You know, I think for me, it happened slowly. And I think it was through the inventory process. You know, the first time I did the third step, it was just because I was desperate and y'all told me to do that. And then after the inventory, to be awakened to the true self, what's really going on. And to continue the process of the rest of the steps, and especially prayer and meditation, to get quiet so that I can hear the still small voice. And a lot of times I don't do it until I'm aggravated. And then I'm just stuck in me again. I'm an extreme example of self-will run riot. There's no way I can wish it away. I have to have God's help.
Thanks, Belinda. This next question is for all three panelists. So anybody who wants to share on it, or all of you, how do you introduce step three to someone who doesn't like the word God? Do you want to start? Colleen, we will start with you.
Well, that was me when I came in, because I was brought up in like the Roman Catholic system, and we had mass every day, and I was behind the school smoking pot. I had no interest in God whatsoever. It was just like at my first meeting, I remember looking on the wall and seeing, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. I have come full circle. I felt like I came full circle. It was the worst news in the whole entire world, because that God was the boring, dusty God from the Sunday Mass. We'd go to Sunday Mass and then I'd go home and my dad would beat up my mom. It just felt like that word was loaded with hypocrisy. It felt like it was ridiculous. It was like, okay, so if there's a God, why do I have to call the police on Saturday nights to stop the fights? It just, I just, whatever. I was like, whatever. For me, it was only because of the pain and the suffering of sobriety. You know what it's like when you first come in, you're in that first week and everybody's God, go God, God, go God. I was just like, whatever. But I could see something in their eyes. It was them. It was the AA members. I could feel the love. So to somebody who's not interested in it, A, we get the prejudice. Read We Agnostics. It addresses all of the prejudice. And the egoic alcoholic mind is going to make up the prejudice. That is the disease. It's like the vampire with anything that's going to shrink the tumor of spiritual malady, it isn't interested in. So just use the word infinite love.
Thank you so much, Colleen. Mike, is there anything that you want to add to that question of how would you explain the third step to someone who doesn't like the word God? Give us just 1 second here to get you unmuted. There we go.
Okay. Well, we've presumably traversed the second step. And what I tell people is that, first of all, the word God is no more than a placeholder. It's a word that we can use so we can all communicate to each other. But say there's 60 people in this room and 60 of them say the word God, each one of them will more likely than not mean something at least slightly different than the others. So it's an artifact for communication. So I can communicate with each other. So the more than that, I'll get into looking at this is where we need to. You remember you said you were willing to set aside your prejudice. We've maybe said the set aside prayer by now. Now you're completely free to come back to your agnosticism and your non-belief and everything else. But what we're asking you to do here is to come along with us, and we'll help you have your own experience here. And then you won't have to take my experience, because you'll be able to substitute your experience. So my use of the word God and our use of the word God, it's something, it's a temporary vehicle to move you from one place to another, to the point where you have your own understanding. And once you have your own, we want no more than for you to have your own experience. And I'm willing to help you have that if you want. So.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. And Belinda, we're going to throw it to you now. Give us just 1 second to get you unmuted.
I got it unmuted. Thanks. That obviously is similar to Colleen, like especially when I got sober, I didn't want to talk about God at all. And I kind of like I like what Mike said about the rearview mirror. I think for me, God was good orderly direction. That, you know, because I just deep down within, I wanted to be good or do different, right? But I like the line in the book where we get to choose our own conception of God. And so that's the question I present to new people, is like, you get to choose your own conception. What would you like? I mean, do you want to choose, you know? And if I get a yes, and what would it look like? And I definitely believe in people having their own experience, and it has to be practical. But a lot of times I'll ask them the question, so if you get to choose your own conception of God, do you want a loving God? Mm-hmm. And I just pause with that. And I've never had anybody say no. And if they say yes, I said, well, great. That's a good starting point. And you can start from there. That's it.
Beautiful. Thank you. Belinda, let's stay with you. We have another question for the whole group, so we'll work the other way now. What are your daily practices for reconnecting with your higher power?
I definitely start off in the morning. I mean, that's the first thing I do. Well, I'm sorry, I get a cup of coffee, but I start off with some prayer and meditation. For me, I currently have gone back to On Awakening and paused during that portion of the book when it says we ask, and I'll write some stuff because I try to listen. I read a couple of different daily readings. I love to do some guided meditations. I'm a mix it up kind of girl. I'm not one that'll do the same thing for 3 years. That's what I do in the morning, so that hopefully that I can be more conscious and more awake throughout the day, to be able to pause during the day, whether it's like a 1 minute meditation. One of my favorites is just breathing in God and breathing out fear. And because it always recenters me to get back with God. And then I finish my day normally with a nightly review that's clearly described what we need to do with that on page 86. And then that's what I take in the next morning. So, yeah.
Thanks, Belinda. Mike, we're going to throw it to you now. What are your daily practices for reconnecting with your higher power?
Well, I try to stay connected in the first place, because much, much easier than being disconnected. But my ability to meditate in the morning is limited, so I have a very short meditation, and that usually follows a prayer that just on awakening, I just say, I love you, God. And then I'll have some short meditations as I go through the day. I had a friend and his wife teach me some years ago that trying to do 2 and 3 minute meditations as I go through the day will be a great benefit in terms of see, I postpone it. I don't have time for 20 minutes. No, I don't have time for this. I've always got time for 2 or 3 minutes. So I do that before I go see a client. I do it before I go into a store and have to interact with people. I have When I skip that, you can guarantee I'm probably going to end up in the 10th step. Finally, into the night, I'm more awake now, and I usually late night before I turn in, do 20 minutes of silent meditation to close out my day. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. And Colleen will ask you the same thing. Do you want to talk about some of your daily practices for reconnecting with your higher power?
Yeah, I was just doing it in regard to the chat. I drop into Watch Awake Aware. KDP's my sponsor, and she's the one who taught me that. It's amazing. If you just try it, Watch Awake Aware, I see what's going on, and I saw all of the beautiful things that were written there, and there's a part of me that doesn't want to receive it, won't let it in. And so I said, God, do you see me blocking that right now? Can you please fill me with the power to let that in? So I wanted to thank you all for the incredible stuff on the chat. And I did that this morning at Easter. We were giving the gifts and kissing each other and doing the rabbits and all that. And I could feel I was like a racehorse. I knew we were doing this meeting, and I just wanted to get in the shower, get dressed, do this. And I was going to miss the whole loveliness with my 21-year-old son and my husband. And I caught it. So for me, it's about the mindfulness and catching it. And I went, God, do you see what's happening here? I'm racing out of this moment. Please fill me with the power to be in this moment. And then I'll look into my son's eyes. I'll try and be present. For me, it's about being present into the moment. The mind's always like so crazily future, 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 to-do list, all just, yeah, let's go, man. Stop. Slow down. I've been doing this. It's Sam Harris has a free 30-day meditation. It's actually my husband who said, let's do this together. So we've been doing it together for about 15 days now. And I could feel the fighting that was going still. Even Mike, when we first started working together about 9 years ago, he was like, Colleen, take 3 minutes and sit in silence. Well, it almost killed me. You know. So I find it really tough to do that, because I'm a greyhound. I'm let's go, let's fly, let's party, let's do cartwheels. Woo! I want to be high. I that's what I like. I'm not into any of the other stuff. Here's the payoff for all you greyhounds out there. You can get higher by simmering in the present moment. It is more of a fifth dimensional thing to slow down. And I said to Mike, I said, what's with the excitement thing that we're not allowed to have? I love excitement. And Mike said, then you'll miss all the nuances. You'll miss all the little gifts and all the little Easter eggs that God has hidden in that present moment. You'll miss it because you'll be in the mind. Thank you.
Thanks, Colleen. Thanks again to all the panelists. Thanks to Chris for chairing. We're going to take about a 20-minute break, and then we'll turn it over to Lauren A. from Blaxland, New South Wales, who's going to be chairing our Three Legacies panel. And so until then, get some coffee.